worked hard to put it together. In fact, we've been talking about it for 3 months. So that I think you'll find this real interesting if you pay close attention. We're going to trace the history of one of the most popular groups in the country today. Now, they're big now, right? They're big now, but they've been in this business for about 15 years now. And they've been working hard all the time. They're one of the hardest working groups I know. And tonight they're going to get out and do some of their old numbers and finally work up in an hour and a half show, if they would want to keep on that long, to the sound that they have today. This is a real success story. Ladies and gentlemen, the Osborne Brothers.
Say that most of this is probably not going to work out as we had hoped it would. I had visions of it being a rather nice thing, but of course Jimmy Martin is a great big part of our story. Well, that's the truth. You can laugh all you want to, but Jimmy Martin is one of the
all right, now
best.
Let's,
wait a minute.
Jimmy is, I want to say this, Jimmy Martin is one of the best bluegrass pickers in this country today.
Hey!
And unfortunate things do happen, and this is an unfortunate thing. It's a misunderstanding, but it happened, and we can't do anything about it, so we'll just have to go on as best we can. The Jimmy Martin part of our story in this business will have to be eliminated because of that.
Is this coming out all right? We have another part which I got started into this business of country music, and well, you're drinking and I ain't. That's the difference, twins. I got started. I got started into this business before Sonny came along, actually. And a gentleman that was here yesterday and will be here tomorrow is not with us tonight, that I did a lot of singing with up in Bluefield, West Virginia, back in 48 and 49 and 50 and 51, Larry Richardson. And Larry, of course, is not here today, but he was here yesterday and he'll be here tomorrow. But that part of the story, we'll have to skip that but due to the reason that Larry's not here. But then, of course, then came the part with Jimmy Martin. I spent some time in the service from the time that I left the Lonesome Pine Fiddlers, which consisted of a group in Bluefield, West Virginia. WHIS was the radio station we worked on up there. I was called to the service after going down to Bristol. I worked with Carter and Ralph, the Standing Brothers in Bristol. I went to the service from there, and of course, when I got out of the service, why, Sonny and me worked together a little bit at Knoxville, Tennessee, and then, of course, we teamed up with Jimmy Martin and went on from there. And of course, that part of our story we'll have to skip.
Buddy,
Freddie?
Let's mention a few of the numbers that you did along
somebody
the way.
The
I know there's a number that you wrote with Larry Richardson that has become a bluegrass music classic, and that number was Pain in My Heart. And I believe Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs had a real popular recording, but that was your tune.
Yes.
And what were some of the numbers that you did with Jimmy Martin?
Jimmy and I, we had a group at WCYB in Bristol, Virginia in 51. We recorded some records for King King. Four songs consisted of My Lonely Heart, Blue-Eyed Darling, You'll Never Be the Same, and She's Just a Cute Thing. I might mention the fact, too, that Curly Ray Klein, who's playing the fiddle today with Ralph Stanley, and Curly's brother Charlie, who is in the ministry business today, is was what played the banjo on those records, and a guy by the name of Ralph Gunther, I do believe, played the bass on those records there. And that consisted of Jimmy Martin and Bob Osborne and the Sunny Mountain Boys at
right.
that time. Of course, we got back then. I went into the service at that time there.
And while you were doing that, Sonny was picking some too, I believe. He had a group.
Sonny at the time was just learning
just learning, routine.
Brother, I'm trying to tell you how it is. That's what they told me to tell. Sonny was more or less getting interested in picking, I'll say that, you know, at the time. And I can't say that about you, my darling.
I think we're going to need some help from the constable over on the left-hand side over here in a few minutes. While Bobby was learning to be a soldier, I was learning to trying to learn how to play the banjo. And I must say this, Larry Richardson influenced me greatly on learning how to play the banjo. He was the first guy that I ever saw play one. And later I heard Earl Scruggs. I think the first tune I ever played on the banjo was one of the Stanley Brothers songs called We'll Be Sweethearts in Heaven, I believe. And it was a strange thing. Before I had one, I had seen Larry play, but Larry wasn't the one at that time to really sit down and show you anything, you see. And so I was about 11, I guess, at that time. And I figured it out in school. I had this record of the Stanley Brothers, and I would go to school, and I kept working on this sound that Ralph Stanley had done on that record. And some of you may be familiar with that record. And we'll sing just in a minute if you'll keep your big mouth shut. Is that all right now? Now we're trying the best we can to do this exactly as it's supposed to be done, as we think it's supposed to be done. And if you don't like the way we're doing it, then don't bug everybody else around you. But to get back, I sat in class in school, and I could hear the roll, the way Ralph played it on that record, and I actually learned to play the thing before I ever got the first banjo. And the first one I ever owned was a K. It cost $20. My dad bought it, and that was proved to be a mistake. K never did come up to standards on instruments somehow. Gibson's they're not. But then Bobby, when he came back from service, I got to go back further than that. While Bobby was in service, Jimmy Martin. We lived in Dayton, Ohio, and Jimmy Martin came up and worked on the radio station in Middletown. Well, Mr. Monroe was playing over at Bean Blossom one Sunday, so Jimmy decided that we would go over and see Bill. And we went over and seen Bill, and he introduced me to him. And so somehow I got a job with Bill. It surely wasn't on my playing. I'd been playing right about 6 months, and I was 12 or 13 years old, something like that. And so the very first, this is one of the most interesting things. And of course, I was completely scared to death, just absolutely scared to death. And we were staying in the Tulane Hotel, and they had a recording studio in the hotel. And the very first thing that I ever played with Bill Monroe, they called me, and I went down to this certain floor and got off, and I never had got off the elevator. I never had seen a recording studio, much less been in one. And so the first thing I ever did with Bill Monroe when I worked with him was make records with him, which I made, I think it was nine songs or something like that, and it consisted of In the Pines, the old record of In the Pines, and The Little Girl and the Dreadful Snake, and the Pike County Breakdown, which I'm not proud of on my part at all. And there was a few more, but I won't go into that. So then Bobby and I got together in Knoxville, Tennessee. Enos Johnson played guitar with us along about that time, and Joe Stewart, whom some of you might know or know of, played fiddle with us. He used to work with the Flat and Scruggs Show in the early 50s. And in 54, June of 54, Bobby and I left Knoxville, and we went to Dayton. Jimmy Martin was there. And so that's where we got together with Jimmy Martin. We worked in Detroit for a while. Then after that, we left Detroit and came back. And then there was a fellow that entered into our story that we grew fond of over 39 months, I think he worked with us. Let's give a great big hand to Red Allen.
Now I'll turn this mic on here. I'm going to talk over here. Now, when Sonny and myself and Red Allen and a guy by the name of Art Stamper played the fiddle, we went to we're going to try to start, like before we got the record contract with MGM Records, some of the first songs that we did, it was in a nightclub in Dayton, Ohio, a little place called A Friendly Inn.
The beautiful Friendly Inn.
And it wasn't too friendly at the time, I might say. Yeah. Well, Red and, of course, Art Stamper play the fiddle, and he's not with us, but we'll try to start with some of the older ones that we did sing before we got to making records, and we'll start with this one here. Remember, we've been over here in the bus trying to think of the first song that Red and Sonny and me ever tried to sing together, and I do believe that was the first one. This one here is not the second one, but it's one of the first ones that we used to sing together. I think this particular song was written, it was recorded by Molly O'Day, but I don't recall the writer of the song, but we did a song called I Don't Care If Tomorrow Never Comes, so we'll try that now.
I don't care if tomorrow never comes. This world holds nothing for me. I've been lonely night and day. I've ever since you went away. I don't care if tomorrow never comes. If tomorrow never comes and the sun don't ever shine, it won't matter with me. For when you went away, my world ended that day. I don't care if tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes and the sun don't ever shine, it won't matter with me. For when you went away, my world ended that day. I don't care if tomorrow never comes.
I might add, too, I might mention the fact that we've asked Ben if there was, back in them days, there was no such thing as, there was such thing as a bass player.
That's ice water.
But back in those days, we couldn't afford it to have a bass player. They didn't, in the little small nightclubs, they didn't pay you enough to have a bass player. But we've asked Ronnie Reno to play the electric bass all the way through the story. Now here's a song that we were speaking of Larry Richardson a while ago. Here's a song that of course Larry's not here, but this is a song that Sonny and Red and me used to sing, and Red knows the verses to it, and he and I sing as a duet. It's called Pain in My Heart.
feed mine with another man's pain. You know that I love you and I'm not to blame.
Thank you very much. Now, about this time along in Red's part of our story here, a gentleman, we went to Wheeling, West Virginia, and we got on the Jamboree in Wheeling, West Virginia up there. And of course, that was before that we got the contract with MGM Records. Here's one of the songs that we used to sing in Wheeling that we got quite a few requests for back then. I hope that we can still remember. What key in? Down Where the River Bends? Let me see how that starts.
Down Where
the river bends, with God's help. Proud of each other and the land of the free.
It's hard to keep the tears out of my eyes, for this may be our last goodbye. Your country calls you.
This and we were completely carefree and didn't give a darn for nothing.
I still a
and was absolutely.
Ain't been no change in my house.
And
tell it like it, brother.
Be quiet, man.
Tell it like it, brother.
Hush, you want it up here, you can have it. Now, quiet.
We were on Wheeling. We had this late night show, and as the night would grow on, everybody would continue to get slap happy, you see, and long about 1 o'clock in the morning, or 12:30 or 1 o'clock, we had this late night show, and on this one particular song that we did, read, got, he would start into the verse, and I don't know what everybody was laughing about, but he would say the first couple of words of the verse, and then he would finish it out by laughing. And it was, I heard a tape back on it that Mike Seeger gave me. It was one of the funniest things you ever heard in your life. Oh, well, all right then. So we developed a style of the trio that we used on that last song and the endings and the things like that. And we came into songs like Once More and She's No Angel and the Charlie Monroe song. My mind's completely blank right now. No, the other, the Down in the Willow Garden. We recorded these things on MGM. All right, and then we came on through, and Red and Bobby and I worked together until about May or something like that of 1958. Well, at this time, well, we kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the trio sound, and we got more interested in the songs that we're doing now on a small level. And so we hired a boy from Missouri, one of the nicest guys that we've ever had the pleasure of working with. And I'd like to introduce him to you right now, Dale Sled.
Ho!
I'm back. Now about, we started making some records where we started using just a snare drum on all of our records, which this was in 1957. Now I'm going to ask my son Robbie Osborne to come out. Would you welcome him? He's going to play the snare drum with us.
There he goes.
We recorded a song for MGM Records that kind of got us off to a. I don't know what you'd say, a new sound or not, but it's kind of a new way of singing, which we featured a high lead, a low tenor, which Dale Sled does, and a baritone, which Sonny does. And this is a song here that we put out in, I believe it's in 1957, that was the first song we ever used a snare drum on, or drums of any kind, and with the type of a harmony that we are still doing today. The song is called Once More.
Once more to be with you, dear, just for tonight, to hold you tight. Once more, I'd give a fortune if I could see you once more.
Much. Now that was, you know, along the story, that was the time we kind of got into that type of harmony singing, this and that. So now we're going to plant the goodies on y'all here. We're going to plug them in and here we go. Whoa, here. We'll skip some of the songs that we did for MGM. We'll go into some of the songs that we did for Decca Records. Some of the ones where we got into this type of sound that we've got today. Here's a song that we would like to... The first song that Dale Sled.
Up this hill again, it's a mighty, mighty long road, but ain't got no end. Well, it's 5 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock at night. 5 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock at night. I work so hard to live, I ain't got no life. If a woman doesn't kill you, she'll drive you insane. If a woman doesn't kill you, she'll drive you insane.
Then we got into Dale Sled. Of course, by this time we were still using the upright bass on records, and we added some instruments and we'd take away some as the time went on. And we recorded a song that Dale Sled helped us record, which Sonny used a dobro. Five-string dobro. It's tuned exactly like the five-string banjo, but it's got a dobro sound to it. Of course, the Sonny's don't have the dobro with him now, but we like to sing the song for you. We had some requests, and I had the names in the bus out there and forgot them, but I hope that you all that requested this particular song will like it. And the song is Making Plans.
Say tomorrow you're going. It's so hard for me to believe. I'm making plans for the hardest, 'cause you I
thank you very much. Sonny, doing the bugle call rag, which was one of our first instrumentals. Well, it wasn't the first instrumental, on, well, it was on Decca Records, but we had recorded an instrumental album on MGM. But Sonny doing the bugle call rag. We hope that you like it. We had, what? We did one other instrumental on Decca Records that was a mandolin tune, and I'll play it for you. We had some requests to do it. Do what? I'll do it for you then while we get into this thing else. Surefire, I'm speaking of.
Salty dog, or I won't be your man at all. Honey, let me be your salty dog.
I'd like to play you a tune that perhaps I know all of you have heard because it was a tremendous hit for Glenn Campbell. And you don't hear these things played often on the banjo, and I think that they should be played more. I'll get to that. And so I've got one right now, my boy. I want to play, if I can concentrate on it long enough, by the time I get to Phoenix.
Some requests this afternoon to do a song that we did this afternoon, but we had some requests to do it once again, and we promised some people that we're going to repeat some of them that we did this afternoon. We hope that you all will you don't care to hear them again, but here's one that we had on a single record here not too long ago, A World of Forgotten People. Like mine.
We've got an important announcement to make. If Paul Paisley Brown from Winston-Salem is here, please report backstage right away. Paul Paisley Brown from Winston-Salem.
A gentleman over here is hollering for an old song that we recorded. We're just kind of taking some requests. We've got some of them that we're going to repeat, as I mentioned. But a gentleman over here has asked for an old song that we recorded for Decca here not an awful long time ago. It's called A Lonesome Day. We hope that we get yours. I really. Here's a song that we promised that we'd do. It's called Kentucky.
For that.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to go to a song that a couple of years... Well, let's do... that's okay. A couple of years ago, we did a... We recorded a song. We did this one this afternoon, and we hope that you won't mind to... We've tried to bring you up to date on what kind of little story that we have had so much as we knew it. Here's a song we recorded a couple of years ago that did real well for us, and Dale Sled and Sonny Me did the singing on the record of it. Of course, we used we used drums and some more instruments on it, but we hope that you we've had some requests to do it again. Hope that you like it, and it goes like this. Now we'll do you the first song that we ever recorded for MGM Records. And I don't recall exactly the date this one was recorded, but I do believe that it was released along about November of 1956, I think. Recorded in about April of 1956, along there some time. But we like to sing you the first one that we ever recorded. Ruby! Ruby, honey, are you mad at your man? I'm saying Wait a minute, Bobby. Thank you. Ready?